It is now 15 hours Greenwich Mean Time.
This is the Voice of America broadcasting from Washington.
Here is the news. Leo Scully reporting.
The Apollo 15 astronauts, homeward bound after 6 days of lunar exploration, are due to carry out the final spectacular activity of their mission in about 1.5 hours. At that time, Alfred Worden will don his space suit, open the command ship's hatch, and take a floating walk to the rear compartment. There, he will retrieve film cassettes from 2 cameras used to take pictures of the moon's surface. The walk, some 320,000 kilometers from Earth, will be televised. Worden will be connected to the cabin by a tether and an oxygen and communications line, or umbilical. Before leaving lunar orbit on Wednesday, the astronauts launched a small moon satellite designed to send data back to Earth for at least 1 year. Signals from the satellite have already been picked up on Earth. On Saturday, the astronauts will splash down in the Pacific north of Hawaii, ending man's longest and most scientifically productive moon exploration.
Of the 3 Apollo 15 astronauts, only Alfred Worden has spent the entire 10 days of the moon mission inside the relatively cramped quarters of the command module Endeavour. Now, he's just minutes away from breaking out of that confinement for a history-making space venture of his own. For a report on what's happening at this moment, we go to Rhett Turner in Houston.
Apollo 15 has left the gravity field of the moon and is now slowly increasing in speed as the Earth begins to draw the moon explorers home. In just a few minutes from now, command module pilot Al Worden will go outside the spaceship Endeavour, climb back to the scientific instrument module in the side of the service module portion of Endeavour, and bring back the large film canisters from the 2 big cameras he used during this 6 days in lunar orbit. So on Apollo 15, all 3 astronauts will have gone outside their protective spacecraft into the vacuum of space, enclosed in pressurized spacesuits. Worden will be connected to the oxygen and spacecraft cooling system through a long umbilical line, and he will hold on to special handles mounted along the sides of Endeavour. We'll be on the air from here in Houston to report Worden's progress when he goes outside Endeavour. In the early morning hours, Houston time, the astronauts performed a navigational check to determine their precise position in space. Using the Endeavour star sighting devices, Al Worden took angular readings to several stars in the heavens, just as navigators through the ages have done, and came up with a very accurate position report for mission control. Houston confirmed from their radar tracking data that the sightings were very good, and capsule communicator Joe Allen congratulated Worden and gave him what he called the Honorary Vasco da Gama Navigation Award for Excellence, in honor of the ancient navigator. The spacecraft is now 309,000 kilometers from Earth, traveling through space at just over 3,200 kilometers an hour. The course looks good, and a mid-course rocket maneuver was canceled today. There may be another look at the course and a possible rocket correction tomorrow. Splashdown in the Pacific now will be at about 20 hours 40 GMT on Saturday. Before he took off from the moon, we recorded a conversation with command module pilot Al Worden about this EVA and what he's going to do, how he's going to bring those film canisters back in. Let's listen to Al describe it in his own words.
On your way home, Al, you've got to sort of wrap up the sim bay package, and you're the man who's going to go outside in your pressurized spacesuit, go EVA as it's called, and bring it in. Tell us about that assignment and sort of a chronology of what you'll do.
Okay, Rhett, the EVA has one major goal, and that is to recover the film that's been exposed in the panoramic camera and in the mapping camera.
Some big cassettes.
There are some very large cassettes. The panoramic camera, for instance, is roughly 85 pounds. And I would say the cassette is about 5 inches in thickness and about 15 or 16 inches in diameter.
It's almost a half a meter wide.
Right. It's a very large size object to be carrying and moving around.
Some big film for those very accurate pictures.
That's correct. The high-resolution pictures, it's 4 or 5-inch film in very tightly reeled onto this cassette. 85 pounds worth. The mapping camera is much smaller because the mapping camera is a 70-millimeter camera, uses that size film. There's also, on that cassette, an additional reel of film which is used in the Stellar camera, and that's 35-millimeter film. The sequence of the EVA is that we all three get into our pressure suits. I get onto a separate oxygen umbilical for my suit, since it has to be a long one.
You'll be on an umbilical from inside.
That's correct.
With the emergency pack?
That's right. I'll be on an umbilical that's connected to the oxygen system inside the command module, and I'll carry an oxygen purge system or backup oxygen supply on my back. Open the hatch, go down the handrails on the side of the command module, which are placed there just for this reason.
Feel your way down.
Feel my way down. Get into the sim bay, into the foot restraints, pull the contamination covers off of the pan camera and the mapping camera, tether myself to those two cassettes and bring them back in. It's a very simple thing.
About how long do you expect to be outside?
Well, I expect the operation will take somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes after we open the hatch. And, of course, the first thing we do after we open the hatch is we put the TV camera on the hatch to watch the whole exercise. So that should be something rather interesting for everybody. We'll be about 40,000 miles out from the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's an EVA, which is I don't know how you would say it, but it's further away in deep space than any EVA we've ever done, except for being on the lunar surface.
We'll all be watching.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Command Module Pilot Al Worden.
Al is now pressurizing his space suit at this moment inside the command module, and it looks like he's going to be pretty close to his originally scheduled timeline in going outside. He might climb out just a minute or two early, and we'll be back on the air from Houston to describe this extravehicular activity.
That was Rhett Turner in Houston. Now, here is a summary of late world news.
The Apollo 15 astronauts, on their way home after 6 days of lunar exploration, are about to carry out the final spectacular activity of their mission. Alfred Worden will take a walk in space to retrieve film from 2 cameras on the command ship. The spacewalk will be televised and will be broadcast worldwide by the Voice of America. The U.S. continued its efforts to get an Indochina ceasefire and clarification of communist peace proposals at today's session of the Vietnam peace talks. U.S. Ambassador Philip Habib said the communist delegations have so far offered only what he called a type of sham ceasefire, conditional and limited in scope. The communist delegations repeated their charges that President Nixon is intensifying the war. In Stockholm, the Scandinavian Airlines system denied that it received a request from the United States government to transport American prisoners of war from North Vietnam to New York. Both the United States and North Vietnam have denied knowledge of any plan to release American war prisoners. The South Vietnamese Supreme Court has ruled that Vice President Nguyen Cao Ky is not eligible to be a candidate in the October presidential election. The South Vietnamese vice president now has 15 days to appeal the court's rejection of his candidacy. Secretary of State William Rogers will confer in New York next week with top United Nations officials to coordinate American relief efforts for East Pakistani refugees. In Israel, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Joseph Sisko met with Foreign Minister Abba Eban today, continuing U.S. efforts to help Egypt and Israel reach an interim agreement on reopening the Suez Canal. 2 British children, aged 7 and 9, have announced the formation of a children's liberation movement. In a letter to the London Daily Mirror, the militant youngsters listed their demands, which include the right not to kiss visiting relatives, the right to watch horror films on late-night television, the right to refuse to eat liver, spaghetti, and hard-boiled eggs. That's the news in brief. This is Leo Scully reporting.
This is the Voice of America's continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 15, man's fourth visit to the lunar surface. Astronauts David Scott, James Irwin, and Alfred Worden sent the command ship Endeavour out of moon orbit into a path back to Earth shortly after 21 hours last evening. Astronaut Worden is about to emerge from the Endeavour for his in-flight walk in space. This walk has a purpose: to retrieve some film cassettes or canisters from the bay in the service module, from which mapping cameras have exposed more than 3 kilometers of film in photographing the moon. For a running account of astronaut Alfred Worden's walk in space, we take you now to the Manned Spacecraft Center at Houston and VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner.
We're listening to the sound of the air flowing through the space suits of the Apollo astronauts. Mission Control talking to them. The pressure is coming down inside the Endeavour, the command module. It takes 2 or 3 minutes for this depressurization to be accomplished before the hatch may be opened and Al Worden may climb out. As you heard, the purpose of this whole walk in space by that command module pilot is to bring back the film, which he's been exposing during 6 days in lunar orbit. Apollo 15 has been in the highest orbit yet, the highest orbit to the highest latitudes, that is, stretching some 26.5 degrees above the lunar equator and some 26.5 degrees below the lunar equator, and for the whole 6 days, except when he was sleeping, and then with automatic equipment doing some of the work while he was sleeping. Al Worden has taken pictures, and it's expected that we'll have fairly accurate mapping and at least 50% detailed photographs of the area over which he passed, with resolutions of about 1 to 3 meters, which means a boulder 1 to 3 meters in size over 10% of the moon may be seen. This, indeed, if the film proves to be good when it's developed, will provide the most accurate information that man has ever brought back about this big a hunk of the moon's overall surface. Then from down below, Dave Scott and Jim Irwin did their historic analysis of the geologically interesting Hadley Apennine site. We're listening to the air as it's continuing to flow and as the pressure is coming down inside the command module. You may hear that swishing sound there. And every now and then, there's a little remark by the astronauts, sort of buried in the sound of the airflow.
Cabinet, 1.5 pounds per square inch.
That's Jack Riley in the Mission Control Center here in Houston. And there's capsule communicator Carl Hennise, whom you'll hear talking to the astronauts. Dave Scott and Jim Irwin are assisting in this EVA, as it's called this morning. They'll mount, they'll help get the hatch open. I miss that. Some of this conversation's a bit garbled, buried in the sound of that air flowing. The airflow is in the spacesuits and actuating the automatic microphone transmitting devices. I would presume when we hear it cut out like that, that somebody's throwing a different switch.
Half a pound cabin pressure now.
Half a pound of cabin pressure, says Mission Control. They've been preparing for this EVA here for over an hour, donning the space suits, checking out systems on board the spacecraft, making sure that the helmets are on tight and don't leak, that the gloves are on tight and don't leak. It takes quite a while to prepare for use of one of these pressurized spacesuits, because every care must be given for the safety of the man. There was one comment from Al Worden or Jim Irwin there. I believe I recognize the voices. Once that the spacecraft cabin is fully depressurized, this high airflow should diminish. It'll take word in just about an hour from depressurization and opening of the hatch until he's back inside. The hatch is closed.
Suit pressure, 4 pounds.
Hatch is closed and the spacecraft pumped up again to 5 pounds pressure. You
cabin
just...
2/10.
Sounds like cabin pressure is down to 0.2 pounds now. Suit pressure about 3 pounds per square inch. That's normal for the pressurized suits. Remember, of course, if the skin is...
it makes a difference. It's still flowing into the cabin.
That's Al Worden.
How can you read me? Can you read me okay? Good.
Dave Scott's asking Al Worden, how do you read me? Do you read me okay on your transmission devices through your communication system? He's talking about going to Vox. This is the voice-actuated communication system. And there went the sound again. It's back. The sound of that airflow.
Heart rates, Worden and Irwin in the 70s, Scott in the 60s.
Dave is the most relaxed of the three, then, according to that. Heart rates. Al Worden, Jim Irwin's heart rates in the 70s. Dave Scott's heart rates are in the 60s.
I suspect that MCU's low enough to keep it there.
When the hatch is open, the onboard television camera will be mounted on the hatch lid as it opens out into space and sticks up, about a meter from the hatch opening. The TV camera then will be aimed back down across the back end of the Endeavour, the service module portion, the big round tank portion of the good spaceship Endeavour. And then... when they turn that TV on, we'll be able to see what Al Worden is doing. And possibly many of you in many parts of the world may be able to pick up this television picture as it's relayed to some 30 countries around the world.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I can't see it. Tim, can you see the image there?
Communication's getting a bit better here now as that the sound of that airflow diminishes.
Good.
Al Worden talking primarily to Dave Scott. He'll go out of the main hatch in the conical part of the mothership.
We're getting ready to open the hatch. How's everything look for you down there?
That's Scott asking, how's everything down here? They're ready to open the hatch.
Roger, Al. Everything's looking good down here.
Everything looks good here according to the telemetry monitoring system of all the spacecraft systems.
Yep.
When the hatch is open in the conical part of the Endeavour... They're unlatching the hatch. Worden will follow some handholds outside. He'll always have a hand on the spacecraft. He's not supposed to turn loose at any time. Not to float about in space, that is.
15 Houston, we don't see the TV camera on yet.
TV camera should come on in a moment, they say. It's mounted to the hatch cover. And the hatch opens. I don't believe they quite have it fully open yet. Earth says we don't have the TV picture yet. That airflow in the spacesuits is continuing to key the microphone. It cuts out occasionally. I would presume that now that they're in this voice-actuated mode that we'll hear the flow and it'll cut out occasionally. I guess that's what's happening there. I doubt at this point, now that the hatch is open, that they're flipping switches on the communication circuit.
This bag is gone.
That was Al Worden.
Bag number two.
I believe they're sounds like he's ejecting a bag.
Okay.
That would mean throwing out a bit of trash into space.
There comes the TV camera. We're beginning to see a picture of this. Very dim at this point.
We're getting a picture now.
Sounded as though he ejected two bags out into space. He says the bags ought to be in the picture about now.
Roger 15, now we're getting a signal.
That was Dave Scott saying that. The TV picture shows a very dim outline on the left of part of the side of the command module. And there's some sunlight glinting into the lens at several points. Now we can see just a bit down the side of the service module, see some thrusters, some of the small control rocket thrusters. These have been turned off and the circuit breakers pulled out so that they won't fire accidentally while Al Wood may be close to them. We can see some of the handholds, which Al will use as he goes outside. And there he comes up out of the hatch, just floating up.
The mapping camera's all the way out.
He says the mapping camera's all the way out. You can see it down there, see how it's extended. He's floated up in the weightlessness of space. And there goes Worden, out of the hatch and back down the side of the command module, down to the service module portion, the big tank in the rear. TV camera's pointed a little bit too low. We're seeing mostly a hatch opening and one hand hold here. Maybe they'll turn it up in just a moment so we can get a better view of Al's activity. He's floated out of sight, out of the top of our television picture coming from the command module now. Very matter-of-factly,
Houston, we're getting a clear picture now, but the aiming of the TV camera is poor. Is it possible to open the hatch wider?
So that's the thing that's affecting the angle of the TV camera is the position of the hatch, apparently. Worden very matter-of-factly says, okay, here we go. And he climbed out, floated out is a better word, I believe. Outside in space, all three men, of course, now in their space suits, pressurized, because the interior of the Endeavour also is exposed to the vacuum of space. That airflow continuing to key the microphones.
Right at the command module.
Yeah, Scott says, yeah, I can see the TV's pointed right at the side of the command module. So we can expect somebody to reach up and move it here in a minute. That was Dave Scott commenting. Worden is back now in the sim bay, the scientific instrument module. There are some foot rests, some foot clamps into which he is to place his feet. He's done that now. As Scott says, now we have a picture of a man in space, and we agree on Earth. No, nope, his feet are still floating free. We can see that a little better now. Al is looking over the instruments in the SIM bay, the scientific instrument module. He's floating around
very gently. 171,000 miles.
That's a bit over 300,000 kilometers from Earth now. And this televised picture of this extravehicular activity coming back through space to Earth. Dave Scott says we're going to turn on the 16-millimeter movie camera to film Al's activities. He's floated almost out the top of the picture again, and Scott moves the camera up to bring him into view. Worden is very carefully examining things as he moves about, looking over the entire module. Now he's turned, just floated around 180 degrees with his feet pointing to the right, and now he pulled his feet down inside the sim bay, and all we can see of him at this point is just the top of his helmet or his backpack glinting in the sun. The sunlight is at a very low angle. Now there's some footholds there, down inside, into which he places his feet. This will give him a footing.
And foot restraints.
He's in the foot restraints, he confirms. See one of the astronauts back inside there in the hatch shaking his umbilical cord, the life the lifeline back to the oxygen and pressurizing system and the communication system. They're moving through space back toward the Earth at this moment at some 3,260 kilometers an hour. And they'll continue to pick up speed until they enter the atmosphere on Saturday. Al Worden's almost disappeared into that whole module from our view here. He is going about the timeline as prepared for him. The first thing he is supposed to do is familiarize himself when he goes out. He did that by floating around. Then the data acquisition camera was set up. You heard Dave Scott.
Camera cassette, you set it.
He's... Al says he's now loosening the mapping camera cassettes, these large film canisters. This is the smaller of the two cameras, and the panoramic camera is enormous. You heard us discussing a little earlier possibly the fact that they're about a meter in diameter, these very large film canisters. But he's now pulled loose the locking pins holding the cassettes of the mapping camera.
30 now.
Worden's heart rates have gone up to about 130. That's because he's exerting himself there, doing some work. He has one of the cassettes. He's now floated free, released his feet from the foot restraints, and he's coming back up, floating back up across the service module, holding on to these special hand holds back down the side of the service module, and he's bringing one of the canisters back in. This is the mapping camera, which, in association with a special laser altimeter device, was expected to provide very accurate synoptic mapping of up to 10% of the moon. The laser altimeter worked well for the first several revolutions and then gradually degraded. But
Irwin's heart rate 116, Scott's 71.
Heart rates, Irwin's 116, Scott's 71. The laser altimeter gradually degraded throughout the mapping camera's exposure cycles, but the scientists here on Earth say that there are other ways of interpolating the actual altitude of these areas being mapped. Of course, one of the main things to do in a map is to... There's the film cassette coming in from the mapping camera. The mapping camera, of course... altitude is very important because they want to get very accurate contour readings, altitudes of mountains and seas. Worden's floated up into the hatch. We can see his back, see his legs just floating there very gently in space. The first cassette going inside, he's handing it to one of the other astronauts. Then he'll reach out, take one of the handholds on the service module in his hand and began to pull himself back for another. You can see him floating right above the spacecraft hatch now on the televised picture coming from over 300,000 kilometers in space. Now he will bring back first the mapping camera cassettes, then he will go back in the even larger cassettes or film containers.
Would you like to get all of it?
It's a little hard to understand the conversations. Dave Scott said something there, two word. And would you...
Camera right. Okay, you said the pan camera is
inside. Oh, apparently that was the pan camera cassette he brought in. I think he reversed the procedure there.
Good job, Al, baby. Remember, there's no hurry up there at all.
No hurry at all.
I'm enjoying
it. He's gone back out again. Floating back to the instrument bay, where he's now going to reach another of the cassettes. So he'll bring them all in, and he has plenty of time. We'll report more to you later. This is Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center.
You've been listening to the Voice of America's coverage of the flight of Apollo 15, now some 243 hours into the mission. Astronaut Al Worden emerged a short time ago from the capsule and is in process of retrieving the first film cassette. As the spacecraft Endeavour continues its coast to Earth, where a splashdown is scheduled in the Pacific on Saturday. Our thanks to VOA space correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center
in Houston. This is Les Higbee at the Apollo News Center.
In 10 minutes, at 16 hours GMT, the late world news on VOA to Africa, Europe, Mideast, and South Asia.
Ohio. The rules were broken, and they took teenagers who